Good morning and welcome to Claude Daily, your Monday morning briefing on everything Anthropic and Claude. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sam. And Alex, I need to tell you something. I set three alarms for this morning. Three. I do not set three alarms.
I believe you. It is Monday, June 1st, 2026, and there is a lot. There is genuinely a lot to get through this morning. Some days you do this job and the news is steady, incremental, interesting, but not shocking. And then there are mornings like today.
This is not a steady incremental morning.
This is not a steady incremental morning at all. We've got a funding story that rewrites the entire competitive map of the AI industry. We've got new model launches. We have what might be the biggest talent hire of the year anywhere in tech. We have Claude Code getting a long, careful look from a couple of major publications. And we've got an enterprise ecosystem that just keeps expanding.
Just say the number. You've been holding it. I've been watching you hold it since we sat down.
I'm going to say the number. Nearly $1 trillion.
There it is.
Anthropic is now valued at $965 billion. And yes, that officially makes it the most valuable AI startup in the world, surpassing OpenAI.
Surpassing OpenAI, the company that gave the world ChatGPT, the company that started this whole era. Anthropic just walked right past them.
We are going to dig into all of it this morning. Let's go. Okay, so the headline is this. Anthropic has closed a $65 billion funding round. The resulting valuation is $965 billion. That puts the company, founded in 2021, just 5 years ago, as the most valuable AI startup on the planet. As of today, Anthropic is worth more than OpenAI.
I keep saying it out loud to make sure it registers. 965 billion. For a company that is 5 years old. Alex, I've been watching the tech industry for a long time, and I genuinely cannot think of a private company that has accumulated value this quickly. This isn't a normal trajectory.
It is not. And the Investopedia piece this morning frames it really usefully. They're looking at what this means specifically for the IPO market. Because at this valuation, Anthropic going public would be one of the largest IPOs in history.
It wouldn't just be one of the largest. Depending on how the public market prices it, which could be at a premium or a discount to the private round, it could be the largest ever.
And what Investopedia is arguing is that this serves a really important function for the broader market, not just Anthropic. Right now, we don't have great pricing information about what frontier AI companies are actually worth in public markets. The private round valuations tell you something, but they're subject to a lot of factors that don't exist in public markets.
Investor enthusiasm, strategic relationships, hype cycles. All of that gets a reality check the moment you're actually trading on an exchange.
And an Anthropic IPO would give the market a pricing anchor. Like, here's what the public thinks this kind of company is worth. And that information is genuinely useful for pricing every other AI company.
Which could unlock a wave of AI IPOs. If Anthropic goes out and trades at a premium, suddenly everyone else's valuation gets validation. If it trades at a discount, well, that's a different conversation.
No confirmed timeline on an IPO. I want to be clear about that, but the fact that we're even having this discussion at this valuation level is remarkable.
And here's what I keep coming back to. The reason the valuation matters beyond just the bragging rights. And I don't want to be cynical about the bragging rights. They're real and they matter in a competitive industry. But the deeper story is what it tells you about investor conviction. When serious money puts nearly a $1 trillion price tag on Anthropic, they are making a very specific bet. They're betting that autonomous AI agents, the thing Anthropic has been building toward, are going to be a real and enormous business, not eventually. Now.
The products are already out. People are already paying for them. And apparently, a lot of very sophisticated investors think this is just the opening act.
And you have to think about the competitive dynamic, too. Anthropic has always played a different game than OpenAI in some ways. OpenAI went consumer first. ChatGPT became a household name. Anthropic has been much more focused on enterprise, on developers, on the safety positioning.
And for a long time, that felt like maybe a slower path. Consumer mindshare is real. The brand recognition that ChatGPT has is enormous, and Anthropic just doesn't have that with general consumers.
But the enterprise market is where the money actually is. And apparently, the enterprise market has spoken pretty loudly through Anthropic's revenue growth.
There's also a piece this morning from Al Mahalla, the Pan-Arab Affairs magazine. And the headline is striking. It's From Claude to Colossus, Why Anthropic Needed Elon Musk. And I want to be careful about how we characterize this because the piece is making a broader argument.
It's a compute argument.
It's a compute argument. The piece is using Colossus, the massive supercomputer cluster that Musk's xAI built, as a kind of shorthand for the extreme infrastructure scale that frontier AI development requires. And the argument is that to compete at the very top level of model development, you need compute resources that very few entities in the world can actually provide.
Which is fascinating for a company that positions itself explicitly around AI safety and responsible development. There's an inherent tension in, we need to build the most powerful possible AI as safely as possible, which requires the most powerful possible infrastructure. Like, scale itself is a risk factor in some frameworks.
And yet here we are with a $65 billion raise, which is, in part, a compute budget.
A very serious compute budget.
The piece is using Musk's infrastructure as a reference point, not as a literal partnership, to be clear. But the underlying point that you have to be able to compete on infrastructure to compete on models is well taken.
And $65 billion is Anthropic saying, yes, we understand that. And we are going to compete on infrastructure.
All right, the talent story. I cannot wait any longer either.
Finally, yes, go.
Andrej Karpathy has joined Anthropic to lead Claude pre-training research.
Andrej Karpathy! Okay, for people who might not know the name, and I want to fix that because you should know this name. Andrej Karpathy is one of the most respected figures in the entire field of AI research. He was a founding member of OpenAI. He went to Tesla, where he built and led the Autopilot team, which was genuinely one of the most impressive real-world AI deployments of its era. He's been working independently since leaving Tesla, and in that time, he's produced educational content on neural networks and deep learning that has, I'm not exaggerating here, probably shaped more AI engineers working today than any single university course.
His lecture videos have millions of views. His GitHub repositories are things that practitioners actually use, not just reference.
He is someone whose name, when it appears in the context of joining a company, makes everyone in the industry pay attention immediately.
And he's going to Anthropic to lead pre-training research on Claude. So let's talk about what pre-training actually is, because I think it's important context.
Yeah, let's do that. Because pre-training might sound like a preliminary step, like warm-up before the real work. It's not.
Pre-training is where the base model gets built. It's the phase where the model is exposed to enormous amounts of data and learns its fundamental understanding of language, reasoning, knowledge, relationships between concepts, all of it. Everything that the model knows about the world, at the most basic level, comes from pre-training.
Everything that happens after, the fine-tuning, the safety alignment work, the product-specific adaptations, all of that is layered on top of what pre-training produced. If the base is better, everything built on top of it is better.
So bringing Karpathy in to lead that work is Anthropic saying, we want to win at the most foundational level of what makes Claude, Claude.
It's not an incremental hire, it's a statement.
And the timing? Same week as a $65 billion raise? Same week as new model launches? Same week as the valuation crossing OpenAI? This is all one orchestrated moment. Anthropic is making a very deliberate declaration about where they're headed.
There are threads on Reddit and Hacker News already speculating about why Karpathy would make this move. Like, why now? Why Anthropic? He had resources, he had independence, he had enormous public platform.
And I think the most compelling theory is the one that's actually the simplest. If you want to do the most interesting work on pre-training, you have to be somewhere that's actually training frontier models at scale. You can't do it from the outside.
Right. Academic research can go so far. But if you want to actually push the state of the art with real compute, real data, real deployment, you need a lab. And Anthropic, coming off a $65 billion raise, is a lab that can give you what you need to actually do that work.
There's also speculation about research culture and transparency. Karpathy has this reputation as an educator, as someone who explains things clearly and publicly. Some people are hoping his joining could lead to more openness about what Anthropic's research is actually doing.
Which would be interesting because Anthropic has a complicated track record on that. They do important public research. The interpretability work especially is genuinely significant and gets published. But they also hold a lot back. Having Karpathy in the building might pull in the direction of more openness.
We'll see, but for now, just the hire itself is the story. It's enormous.
Agreed. Okay, so let's talk about the models because there's actual new product news today.
Yes. Claude Opus 4.8 has launched. And I want to set context on the naming before we get into what it actually does.
Good call.
So within the Claude 4 model family, there are different tiers. You have Haiku on the lighter, faster end, Sonnet in the middle, and Opus at the top for the most capable, most powerful work. Opus 4.8 is a point release within that Opus tier, which signals an iterative improvement rather than a complete architectural overhaul. But iterative does not mean minor here.
Very much not minor. They've targeted three specific capability areas: coding, agentic task execution, and knowledge work. And those three things are not random. They're exactly the domains where enterprise customers are making their biggest bets on AI right now.
The coding improvements are particularly significant given everything we'll talk about with Claude Code. Anthropic has been investing heavily in code quality, in generation, in debugging, in reasoning about complex code bases, and Opus 4.8 advances that further.
The agentic execution piece is also worth dwelling on. Because an agent isn't just a chatbot that helps you think. An agent takes actions. It can run tools, make decisions, chain together multiple steps to complete a complex task. Getting that right is genuinely hard. You need the model to be reliable, to handle unexpected situations, to know when to ask for clarification versus when to proceed.
And knowledge work, which is kind of a broad category, but I think covers things like research, analysis, synthesis, writing at a professional level. That's been one of Claude's standout strengths for a while, and they're sharpening it further.
The distribution story is also big. Opus 4.8 is available on Amazon Web Services and Snowflake Cortex AI. Those are two of the most important enterprise data platforms on the planet.
If your company runs on AWS, which is a lot of companies, you can access Opus 4.8 directly through your existing cloud infrastructure. No new vendor relationship, no new data pipeline to set up. It's just there.
And Snowflake is particularly interesting because Snowflake is where a huge amount of enterprise data actually lives. If you're doing analytics, if you're managing your data warehouse, your data is probably in or touching Snowflake. Having Opus 4.8 accessible within Cortex AI means you can apply Claude directly to your data. Not a copy of your data that you've moved somewhere else. Your actual data in place.
For a knowledge work use case, analyzing call transcripts, synthesizing research, understanding patterns across large datasets, that's enormously powerful. You're not asking Claude abstract questions. You're pointing it at your actual business data.
And then there's Mythos, which I want to talk about even though we don't have very much to say yet.
We don't have very much to say yet. What we know is that Claude Mythos is a new model line, not a point release within an existing tier, a genuinely new line, and it is coming in the next few weeks.
The name, right? Like, Anthropic has a naming sensibility that I find genuinely interesting. Claude is named after Claude Shannon, the mathematician and information theorist who basically invented the study of information itself. Opus, sonnet, haiku, there's a literary, intellectual quality to it. And now Mythos.
Myth, story, narrative, the fundamental human technology for making sense of the world.
Is it above Opus in terms of capability? Is it a completely different track? Is it specialized for some specific use case? We don't know, and I think they're deliberately not telling us yet.
The announcement alongside Opus 4.8 is a strategic communication move. Here's what's available today. Here's what's exceptional and available today. And here's something even more exciting coming soon. It keeps enterprise customers from waiting on a future model instead of adopting what's available now, while also generating genuine anticipation.
It's working on me. I am genuinely anticipating it. That name is doing work.
The name is doing work. All right, let's pivot to Claude Code because there's some really interesting reporting this morning.
Yes, Business Insider went deep on this.
Business Insider has the piece titled something like, "Inside the Unseen Operation to Turbocharge Claude Code." And the framing of unseen is interesting because Claude Code, for people who haven't used it, is Anthropic's agentic command line coding assistant. It's not a chat interface where you paste code and get suggestions. It operates in your actual development environment. It can read your files, run commands, make changes, test its own output.
And for developers who've adopted it, and the adoption numbers seem to be significant, it has become a core part of how they work. Not a nice to have, an actual daily workflow tool.
What Business Insider is pointing to is the significant behind-the-scenes infrastructure that powers the continued improvement of Claude Code. And the companion piece from the Let's Data Science publication gets specific. Anthropic uses human contractors as part of the refinement process.
Which, let's be clear about this. This is not unusual. This is standard practice across the AI industry. The process is called reinforcement learning from human feedback, often shortened to RLHF. The basic idea is that you train the model not just on raw data, but on human evaluations of its outputs. A contractor looks at two responses, says this one is better, and that signal gets incorporated into how the model learns.
And for coding specifically, this is actually particularly powerful because code has something that natural language doesn't always have: verifiability. You can run the code, you can find out definitively whether it works.
Right. With a lot of writing tasks, evaluating quality is somewhat subjective. With code, you can have a test suite and the code either passes or it doesn't. That's an incredibly clear training signal. It's part of why coding capabilities have improved so dramatically across all the frontier models. The feedback loop is tight.
What makes the Business Insider piece interesting is the scale and the deliberateness of this for Claude Code specifically. The unseen operation framing suggests Anthropic has made significant investments in this infrastructure, not just as a side process, but as a core part of the Claude Code roadmap.
And you can see the results. The reason so many developers have been noticing quality improvements that they can't attribute to any announced model update, this infrastructure is the explanation.
There's a comment in the Reddit threads this morning from someone saying they've been tracking Claude Code outputs on a set of benchmark tasks they keep for exactly this purpose, and they've noticed meaningful improvements at least 3 times in the past several months that corresponded to no public announcement.
That's exactly the unseen part. The model gets better, you notice it, and there was no blog post.
And that's actually a feature for enterprise customers. You want your tools to improve continuously. You don't necessarily need to know exactly when and how it happened.
There is a dimension of this that's worth taking seriously, though, and a few people in the Reddit threads are raising it. The contractor model for AI training, and this is industry-wide, not specific to Anthropic, has raised some legitimate questions about labor conditions. The people doing this work are often paid low wages, sometimes in lower-income countries, sometimes with exposure to very difficult content in the case of safety labeling work.
It's a real issue, and it deserves serious scrutiny even when, and maybe especially when, you're a company that's positioned around doing things responsibly.
I don't want to pile on specifically Anthropic here because it's genuinely an industry-wide thing, and Anthropic is not known to be worse than peers on this, but the conversation is worth having.
Agreed. And hopefully the increased attention on it pushes the industry toward better practices. All right, shifting to a story that I think is going to get more attention as the details come out. Anthropic's AI vulnerability scanner.
Okay, this is genuinely exciting.
So Anthropic has entered enterprise beta with an AI-powered vulnerability scanner. The scanner has been developed in partnership with Glasswing, which is the initial partner on this. And the news this morning is that IBM has now joined the enterprise beta.
IBM, Big Blue. Not a company that moves fast. Not a company that gets into betas of things that aren't serious.
The thing that makes this story land, though, is the concrete data point. More than 10,000 security flaws identified during the development and testing phase.
10,000. That is not a "we found some things" result. That is a "this tool is doing real work" result.
And the application here is significant. A large language model being used to scan code and systems for security vulnerabilities. To find the places where an attacker could get in before the attacker does.
Cybersecurity has this fundamental asymmetry problem that everyone in the field talks about. The attacker only needs to find one vulnerability. The defender needs to find all of them. And as systems get more complex, as code bases get larger, as integrations multiply, the surface area that defenders have to cover grows faster than any human team can keep up with.
AI changes that equation. If you can automate significant portions of the vulnerability discovery process,
you change the economics of defense. You can cover more surface area, faster, and more continuously. Not just as a one-time audit, but as an ongoing check.
And the regulatory environment is pushing hard on cybersecurity right now. Compliance requirements are getting stricter. The consequences of breaches are getting more severe legally and reputationally. And enterprise security teams are under enormous pressure to demonstrate they've done thorough due diligence.
A tool that can say, "We scanned your entire code base, and here are the 10,000 things you should look at." That is incredibly useful documentation for that compliance story, not just for actually fixing the bugs.
IBM's involvement validates this in a very specific way. IBM has deep relationships with exactly the enterprises that have the most complex security needs and the most regulatory scrutiny: financial services, healthcare, government-adjacent work. If IBM is testing this tool, they're testing it with that clientele in mind.
An enterprise beta suggests there's a commercial rollout coming not too far behind. This is not a research project. This is a product in preparation.
Okay, so speaking of how Claude compares to the competition, there's a really interesting piece from Tom's Guide this morning.
Oh, I love this kind of thing.
The headline is, "I use ChatGPT every day, but Gemini and Claude keep beating it in these key areas." And the author is someone who genuinely uses ChatGPT as their primary daily driver. This isn't a hit piece from someone who doesn't like it.
That's what makes it credible. If you're a ChatGPT loyalist and you're still saying Claude beats it in specific areas, that's meaningful.
And the areas where Claude is winning in this assessment align pretty tightly with what we know about where Anthropic has been focused. Writing quality, reasoning through complex problems, code, following nuanced instructions accurately.
The instruction following thing comes up constantly in these comparisons. And I think it's real. There's a quality to Claude, something about how it interprets what you're actually trying to accomplish rather than just what you literally typed, that regular users notice and comment on.
The piece is documenting what I think of as splitting behavior, where someone's default tool is one thing, but they find themselves switching to something else for specific tasks. That's a really interesting pattern because it means Claude doesn't have to win the default tool battle to be enormously valuable.
Right. If the tasks where Claude wins happen to be high-value professional tasks, the things where people are really trying to get important work done, then winning those tasks is worth a lot, even if ChatGPT still has the broader mindshare.
And that's essentially the enterprise strategy made visible at the individual user level.
Although I'll say, I think Claude's position is stronger than wins in specific niches. The cumulative effect of consistent quality on reasoning and writing tasks is, people build habits around it. The users I know who switched to Claude for the reasoning stuff have mostly not gone back.
The stickiness is real. Okay, let's spend some time on the ecosystem because there are several integrations this morning that paint a really interesting picture of where Claude is showing up in enterprise workflows. Let's start with Actively. Actively is a sales intelligence platform. They describe themselves as building AI-powered per-account agents, and they've just launched a native integration directly into Claude.
Okay, I want you to explain per-account agents because I think that's actually the interesting part of this.
Right. So the idea is that if you're a sales professional and you're managing dozens or hundreds of accounts, each account has its own universe of information. There are emails, there are call transcripts, there are notes in your customer relationship management software, there are external signals about the company, news about the business, information about their industry, changes in their leadership. All of that is relevant when you're preparing for a call or strategizing about how to advance a deal.
And all of it lives in different places and takes time to assemble.
Actively builds what amounts to a dedicated AI agent for each individual account. That agent synthesizes everything, internal data, CRM records, call history, emails, and combines it with those external signals into a coherent picture.
So instead of spending 45 minutes before a big call pulling information from five different systems, you ask the agent and it gives you the synthesis.
Exactly. And now that capability is native inside Claude. So you're in a conversation with Claude, you're doing your prep work, and you can pull in Actively's account intelligence directly within that same interface.
This is smart because it's meeting users where they already are. A lot of these sales professionals are already using Claude for writing emails, drafting follow-up strategies, thinking through objections. Now the account intelligence is right there in the same place.
And from Actively's perspective, instead of building and maintaining a separate user interface that people have to learn and navigate to, you live inside the tool your users are already in. That reduces friction enormously.
The connector ecosystem strategy makes so much sense when you see it play out like this. You make Claude the place where people do knowledge work, and then you make it possible for all the specialized tools to plug in. Claude becomes the interface layer for everything.
Which is a very different product strategy than building a portal or a dashboard.
Much more embedded, much stickier.
Otterly AI is another one this morning. They specialize in AI search optimization, which is a whole new discipline, by the way, for people who haven't been tracking this. And they've launched a Claude skill alongside a public programming interface and a marketplace of over 101 pre-built marketing workflows.
I want to explain the AI search optimization thing for a second because I think it's genuinely important context. Traditional search engine optimization was about making your content findable and relevant to keyword-based search algorithms. But search has fundamentally changed. Google has AI overviews now. Perplexity is a major thing. There are AI systems that answer questions directly rather than pointing you to web pages. and those systems have different needs than traditional crawlers.
When an AI summarizes your content instead of just linking to it, the criteria for what makes your content valuable are different. It's not just keywords. It's whether the information is structured and authoritative in ways that a language model can accurately represent.
Exactly. So AI search optimization is about making your content work well in this new world. And it's a real and growing professional discipline.
Otterly AI is positioning itself as the platform for that discipline. And by building a Claude skill, which means their tools are accessible directly within Claude, and by launching a marketplace of over 100 specialized workflows,
they're saying, here are all the tactical tools you need to compete in AI search, and they're all available through Claude.
The circular logic here is interesting too. If you're trying to optimize your content for AI models, including Claude, testing it with Claude directly is both the most relevant evaluation and the most efficient workflow.
You're building the thing that helps your content get used by the thing you're building in. I mean, there's a poetry to it.
And then there's Django, marketing technology firm, which has launched something called JAG AI. This is framed as a platform for building AI-powered marketing teams around Claude. Not Claude helps your marketing team. AI is the marketing team.
That's the shift, right? A year or two ago, the pitch was AI augments your human team. Now the pitch is increasingly, the team is primarily AI, which is, depending on your perspective, exciting or alarming or both.
The way JAG AI frames it is as assembling different functional capabilities. You're building out copywriting capability, campaign strategy capability, analytics, audience segmentation. And Claude is the core intelligence layer that all of those functions run on.
For a brand that can't afford a 10-person marketing department, a mid-sized business, a startup, the value proposition is obvious. You're getting coverage across marketing functions that would otherwise require multiple specialized hires.
And for larger organizations that already have marketing teams, it's potentially about augmenting and accelerating them. More output from the same team, faster iteration on campaigns, AI handling the analytical and copy generation work while humans focus on strategy and relationships.
The question that always comes up with this framing, and it's the right question, is what it means for actual marketing professionals. And I don't think the answer is simple. These tools probably eliminate some roles. They definitely change what roles look like. And they might also create new roles around managing and directing the AI systems.
History suggests automation tends to transform categories more than it eliminates them wholesale. But the transformation can be wrenching, and the benefits and costs are distributed very unevenly.
What strikes me about all three of these integrations, Actively, Otterly AI, JAG AI, is that none of them are toys. These aren't demo apps someone built on a weekend. These are real enterprise tools targeting real workflow problems with real paying customers in mind.
And they all chose Claude as the foundation. Not as an afterthought, not as one of several options, but as the core.
Which is the ecosystem bet in action. If you become the foundation that serious enterprise applications build on, you win regardless of who has the flashier consumer product.
That goes back to the valuation story. Investors can see this ecosystem forming. They can count the integrations. They can model the revenue implications. They can think about the lock-in effects. And they are pricing all of that into the $965 billion number.
The ecosystem is not a side story. The ecosystem is why the number exists.
Okay. Let's go to the community. Reddit has been very active this morning.
Very active is an understatement. Like, the Carpathy hire thread alone has been going since about 4 a.m.
The Carpathy thread is massive. And the reactions are, look, in any community that cares about AI research, Andre Carpathy is a significant figure. People have opinions about him moving.
The predominant reaction I'm seeing is a kind of impressed excitement. Like, there are comments saying, okay, Anthropic is serious now. Not just funded and growing serious. Building the best possible research team serious.
And there's a lot of speculation about what his joining means for the actual research direction. Because pre-training is where everything starts. And if Carpathy has specific ideas about how to push pre-training further,
he almost certainly has very specific ideas. The guy has been thinking about nothing else for his entire career.
The why question is coming up a lot. Why leave independence? Why Anthropic specifically and not one of the other labs?
There's an interesting comment thread where people are working through this. One argument is purely about resources and compute. You just can't do frontier pre-training research without a frontier lab's budget and infrastructure. That became dramatically more true with the $65 billion raise.
Another argument is about the specific research culture at Anthropic. The interpretability work, the constitutional AI work. There's an argument that Anthropic has been doing the most scientifically interesting safety-relevant research. And if you want to think seriously about how to build AI that's actually safe and beneficial, that's where the most interesting scientific problems are right now.
And there's a Karpathy-specific dimension to this. He has been vocal over the years about caring genuinely about the long-term future of AI going well. Not performatively, but in ways that show up in his actual work and his public writing. Anthropic's mission alignment with those values might be a real factor.
The transparency thread is also interesting. People are hoping that his presence, given his reputation as an exceptional communicator and educator, pulls Anthropic toward publishing more, explaining more, opening up more about what they're learning.
Which would be valuable for the field, not just for Anthropic's reputation. Some of the interpretability results. Anthropic has been producing are genuinely important for everyone trying to understand how these systems work. More of that being shared publicly is good for everyone.
The valuation discussion on Reddit is more divided. There's a real split between people who see the nearly $1 trillion valuation as validation and people who see it as a warning sign.
What's the bull case in the threads?
The bull case is essentially, look at the product quality, look at the enterprise adoption, look at the ecosystem building, look at the talent they're attracting. The fundamentals actually support the valuation, because what's being priced in isn't a current snapshot, but a growth trajectory. And the growth trajectory, if it continues, eventually supports a $1 trillion-plus company.
And the bear case?
The bear case is multiple things at once. One is just the basic "we've seen this movie before" argument, that enormous private round valuations have preceded dramatic corrections more than once. WeWork being the darkly funny example that keeps coming up.
Although, and I want to say this, the comparison to WeWork or even to some of the earlier tech bubbles kind of misses what's different here. Anthropic has actual revenue from actual products that actual enterprises are actually paying for. It's not a valuation based purely on the idea of future revenue.
Right. The bet isn't that they'll eventually figure out how to make money. They're making money. The bet is about how large the eventual market is and how dominant Anthropic's position in it will be.
Which is still a big bet, but it's a fundamentally different kind of bet than maybe this thing will eventually work.
There's also a thread that's getting some traction about the competitive implications. Specifically, what does Anthropic at this valuation mean for everyone else? For the other frontier labs, for the whole AI industry's competitive structure.
The framing that keeps coming up is that there might be a consolidation coming. That if you look at the capital requirements to compete at the frontier, the compute, the talent, the data, the safety infrastructure, very few players can sustain that indefinitely. And the gap between those that can and those that can't might be growing.
It's a credible concern. Research talent is scarce and expensive. Compute costs are enormous. The companies that can raise at Anthropic scale are able to invest in ways that widen their competitive advantage.
Which is part of why the Karpathy hire matters. Not just great researcher joins Anthropic, but great researcher joins Anthropic because Anthropic can offer what he needs to do the work he wants to do. That dynamic compounds.
The Claude Code threads are also active. Developers specifically have been reacting to the Business Insider and Let's Data Science reporting.
What's the developer reaction?
Mostly a kind of "I knew it" energy. Like, people who have been noticing quality improvements that didn't correspond to any announcement now have an explanation for why that was happening.
The human feedback infrastructure. The contractors making it better in the background.
Yeah. And there's actually a lot of appreciation for that process in the developer community. Because developers understand feedback loops. They understand iteration. The idea that there's a continuous quality improvement process happening isn't unsettling to them. It's reassuring.
Although, as we discussed, the labor conditions question is in there too. There are a few people raising it thoughtfully. Not in a hostile way toward Anthropic specifically, but more as a systemic concern about how the industry handles this.
And I think that's the right framing. It's a systemic issue that all the labs share responsibility for. The fact that we're talking about it more openly is probably net positive.
A few people in the Claude Code threads are specifically excited about Opus 4.8 landing today because coding improvements were a core part of the announcement. Like, great, the thing I use every day just got better, and now I'm going to find out what better means.
The developer enthusiasm for Claude Code is genuinely striking. I keep seeing comments that start from a place of, I tried to go back to using something else and just couldn't. That's strong product market fit.
And Opus 4.8 is specifically targeting the exact capabilities that make Claude Code valuable. Coding quality, agentic execution, following complex multi-step instructions. They're feeding the thing that's already working.
The vulnerability scanner story got some interesting reactions in the security-focused corners of Reddit. The 10,000 flaws number is the thing people are latching onto.
Because it's not abstract. It's not improve security analysis capabilities. It's here is a count of real vulnerabilities this thing found.
And there are people who work in security in those threads who are thinking through the implications. One comment I found interesting. The author said the number isn't necessarily about volume, like finding 10,000 trivial issues isn't the same as finding 10 critical ones. But it demonstrates that the model is actually engaging with real code in a way that produces actionable outputs, not just plausible-sounding suggestions.
That's a really good distinction. Quality of findings matters more than quantity, but if the quantity is high and the quality holds up, then you have something genuinely powerful.
IBM's involvement keeps coming up as the validation signal. There's a comment that I thought was pretty astute, something like IBM doesn't join betas. IBM joins things that are about to become standards.
That tracks with how IBM operates. They have a long track record of identifying enterprise technology that's about to become foundational and positioning themselves around it. If that instinct is pointing toward Anthropic's vulnerability scanner,
then the commercial launch is probably not far away.
The Tom's Guide comparison piece is getting some lighthearted discussion. A lot of Claude fans being like, yeah, obviously, in response to the headline about Claude winning in key areas.
But there are also some more thoughtful threads where people are thinking about what the consumer market looks like long term. Because ChatGPT's brand advantage is real, and it's durable in ways that are hard to displace through product quality alone.
Brand is sticky. You're right. A lot of people have ChatGPT as their mental model for AI assistance, and that doesn't change quickly, even when alternatives are demonstrably better at specific things.
The enterprise market is different. Enterprises have procurement processes. They do evaluations. They compare tools on measurable criteria. Product quality can win in that environment in ways that might not translate to pure consumer mindshare.
Which is again where Anthropic's strategy has been focused. And which is why the valuation makes sense if you believe in that strategy.
There are also a few small threads on the Actively and JAG AI announcements. The marketing and sales communities are the ones most engaged with those, naturally.
The reactions to JAG AI are interesting. There's a range from, this is going to transform how smaller companies do marketing, to, this is the beginning of a very difficult period for marketing professionals.
Both of which can be simultaneously true.
They absolutely can. And I think the honest conversation about AI and professional labor is the one where you hold both of those at the same time, rather than insisting it's purely good or purely threatening.
The Actively integration is getting less philosophical discussion and more practical, wait, this is useful energy. Sales professionals specifically are already imagining how they'd use it.
Because the value proposition is so direct. Time saved on prep, better quality of preparation, more confidence going into calls. Those are things a sales professional can immediately translate into money.
All right. I want to take a step back before we wrap up and just talk about the through line here, because I think there's one.
Tell me.
This morning's news, all of it together, is telling one story. And the story is, Anthropic has executed a remarkable consolidation over the last year or so. They've taken the safety-focused, enterprise-first positioning that some people thought was a constraint, like, is this company going to be too cautious to compete? And turned it into a feature.
Turned it into a nearly trillion-dollar feature.
The enterprise customers who are most willing to pay the most for AI tools are also the ones who care most about reliability, about safety, about not having their models say something terrible that ends up on the front page. Anthropic's positioning is perfectly matched to that customer base.
And the ecosystem build-out we're seeing today, Actively, Otterly AI, JAG AI, all of these connector integrations, that's not just distribution. That's Anthropic embedding Claude into so many workflows that switching costs become real. You don't just use Claude, you depend on Claude as infrastructure.
And then you hire Andre Karpathy to lead pre-training research, which signals that you're not just running on your current model advantage. You're investing in making the next model meaningfully better than anything that exists.
And you raise $65 billion to fund all of it, while also having the compute infrastructure to actually execute on the research vision.
It's a comprehensive strategy, and it's working.
The one question I still have, and I genuinely don't know the answer, is what OpenAI does next. Because they've been the reference point for the entire AI industry, and waking up to find yourself no longer the most valuable AI company in the world.
That's a motivating fact.
That is a very motivating fact. And OpenAI is not standing still. They have their own model improvements, their own enterprise push, their own very significant capital base. The competition is not over.
And frankly, competition is good for users. Every time one of these companies makes a move, the others have to respond, and the models get better for everyone.
The next few weeks are going to be fascinating. Mythos is coming. Carpathy is presumably going to be building toward the next generation of pre-training. The vulnerability scanner is moving toward commercial launch.
And we will be here for all of it, every morning.
Every morning, I'll keep setting the three alarms.
Let me do a quick rundown of everything we covered today before we sign off.
Yes, let's do it.
Anthropic closes a $65 billion funding round. Valuation hits $965 billion. Anthropic officially surpasses OpenAI as the world's most valuable AI startup. Investopedia is framing this as a potential catalyst for a major AI IPO wave.
The biggest number in AI history for a company that is 5 years old.
Andre Carpathy joins Anthropic to lead Claude pre-training research. Formerly of OpenAI, formerly head of Tesla Autopilot, one of the most respected figures in AI anywhere in the world. Arguably the biggest AI talent hire of the year.
It might be bigger than a year. We'll see.
Claude Opus 4.8 launches today with major capability upgrades in coding, agentic workflows, and knowledge work. Available now on Amazon Web Services and Snowflake Cortex AI, and Claude Mythos, a new model line, is coming in the next few weeks.
The name alone has me ready.
Business Insider goes inside the infrastructure powering Claude Code's continued improvement. Significant investment in human feedback systems is driving iterative quality gains, many of which happen quietly without public announcements. The labor conditions question around contractor models is worth watching for the whole industry.
The unseen engine behind the product.
Anthropic's AI vulnerability scanner enters enterprise beta. IBM joins Glasswing as a partner, over 10,000 security flaws already identified during development. A significant enterprise security product is taking shape.
10,000 flaws, real impact, real early.
Tom's Guide documents ChatGPT users being pulled toward Claude for reasoning, writing, and coding tasks. The splitting behavior is real, and it reflects Claude's genuine competitive edge in professional use cases.
The daily driver might not switch, but the behavior tells the story.
And the connector ecosystem keeps growing. Actively brings per-account sales intelligence natively into Claude. Otterly AI launches a Claude skill and over 100 AI search marketing workflows. Django launches Jag AI to help brands build AI-powered marketing teams around Claude.
The ecosystem is the moat.
It is. That is Claude Daily for Monday, June 1st, 2026. A big morning, probably a week of follow-on stories.
When Mythos drops, we're going to have a whole episode. That is a promise to you personally, listener.
Same morning. That's our commitment. Thanks for spending your Monday morning with us. If today's episode was useful to you, share it with someone who should be watching this space. Because based on what we covered this morning, and I think we've established this, a lot of people should be watching this space.
A lot of people are about to start watching whether they plan to or not.
That is probably true. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sam. Great week to everyone. The news is going to keep moving fast.
It really is. We'll see you tomorrow.